Greetings, everybody. It's mid-October as I say these words, and the BMW Motorrad World Endurance Team has just nailed its first victory at the final round of the 2021 World Championship. In chalking up this memorable victory, they also secured second place in the final championship standings. It seemed a good time as any to catch up with team manager Werner Damon, who tells me how they did it, why the MRR is a serious track tool, and why this important victory sets things up nicely for 2022. Let's go. Okay, so Werner Damon, welcome to Ride and Talk. It's great to have you on the show.
Thank you. Same here for me.
Yeah, well, first and foremost, congratulations on the race win last weekend. You must be very proud of the whole team.
Yeah, sure. I'm very proud. It was a long year. Already the last 2 years, we're fighting for the victory. We have a few times already on the podium. And yeah, then you know the victory can come. And finally, the last phase of the season, the victory was there with 0.07 of a second. It was very exciting to win, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was the smallest margin of victory ever in Endurance World Championship. Like you said, 70 milliseconds. Fantastic to have such drama in the closing stages, but probably not good for your nerves, Werner.
No, it was all the year. We were a little bit like this. We the first race in Le Mans, where we crashed the first lap or the second lap, we coming back to place three. This we did the same in Estoril. We crashed and we're coming back to place three on 0.09 from the second place. And now we are winning the race, but every time it's not on a normal way. I hope next year we can win on a normal way, with a little bit more distance from the other guys.
Yeah, understood. Yeah, I mean, of course, it's the first victory for the team in EWC, which is a massive achievement when you're up against the caliber of teams like Yoshimura Sirt, who've won, I think, 17 world titles over the years. So I guess that meant you celebrated hard on Saturday night.
No, we must go back on Sunday morning with the flight. It's okay. But of course, I'm very excited. I sleep for the first time good this week. Because yeah, you know, we want to win already for a long time, and you feel it also in the team. We grow into the season, and you feel it inside the team also that the victory was coming. That for me was sure, and also the riders on Sunday morning, both riders say, "Werner, I feel we have the possibility to win now." And if you win also, yeah, then it's a very nice feeling, of course, because yeah, then you everything is what you do in a full year, working day and night. A lot of stress is coming to the end, and it's for both of us, for BMW and for the team, was it really exciting.
Yeah, and of course, not just the victory itself, but second in the final overall rankings is great, you know, considering, like you say, the recent disappointment at the Bol d'Or. That's a good result, isn't it, second?
Yeah, sure. It's always, and after this reason, a lot of if we don't have the problem in Le Mans, if we don't have the problem in Le Castellet, we could also be world champion. But okay, we know that next year we are able to fight for the victory for the world championship. You never know, but if everything is going okay, we are one of the favorites, I think, together with Suzuki and Yamaha and Kawasaki. Well, one of the favorites for the world title for sure.
Yeah, I'd agree with that 100%. And of course, that maiden win for the MRR, it just came 1 week after the first World Superbike Championship win for the BMW Motorrad Motorsport team, didn't it? So it kind of seems like things are starting to happen now. So I guess it's a shame this season has to end already, doesn't it?
Yes, yeah, like you say, the M is a really good bike. And we felt already in the first test that we have a better bike than the S version. That was already a good bike. And then, of course, we follow very good World Superbike guys. And if I see that Michael was 15 in the qualifying, what is best qualifying result from last year's. And when he was scratching out the first race by Locatelli, I know that the possibility was there. He was in the podium. And then his win on the Sunday morning on the drying up track was already very good. And then in the afternoon, he make again a strong result. And then once the flow is there, you smell the victory, and we coming in most, and the first free practice was already good, and then yeah, the atmosphere in the team is better and better, and yeah, on the end of the story you want. And I think like you just say, it's a start for the M bike. Hopefully Van der Mark or this weekend in Argentina, they can make again a good result, and I think for sure it's possible. Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, not just that result, but your result as well. It must give you great confidence for what lies ahead. So I guess that means you're going to be pretty busy this winter testing and preparing for 22.
Yeah, sure. We never stop. Hey, it's next week is already a test. And then in December already we planned testing for different parts, and tire testing never stops. Next week is already tire testing again for next year. Yeah, exactly. We never stop. Maybe we stop maybe the first week of November or the first 2 weeks of November. We go a little bit slow down, but for the rest, we're working full time.
Full steam ahead, absolutely. So, Werner, just a short season review for everybody who hasn't watched every single round like I have. So cast your mind back earlier this year to the 24 hours of Le Mans. I mean, that was serious drama, wasn't it? You know, from a leading position, a minor crash and a problem with the fuel system, that led to several unscheduled pit stops. And then I think at one time the team found itself back in 43rd place, many laps behind the leaders and pretty much out of contention. But your team showed fantastic fighting spirit on the MRR and gradually worked, you know, back towards the front of the field, one position at a time. And in the end, after 24 hours of racing, I think it was Xavi Forres who brought the number 37 MRR home in third place. But surely, Werner, that third place must have felt like a victory at the time.
Yeah, on the end of the race, yes. To be honest, I was really disappointed in the beginning from the testing, because we have a pre-Le Mans test. Where we broke the lap record. All three riders broke the lap record, and the pre-tests are incredible. We are so strong, we never won before. And then we're coming there, and we have some minor problems what put us back. And before we understand, the race was already there. Then we have, like you say, a small crash in the beginning. We have some problems with the fuel system, what we have to change two times. Two times we have to change the full fuel system. And on the end, 24 hours long, we are fighting and we'll be driving the fastest lap times. It's long, 24 hours, because on the end, you're seeing you place 40, 38, 30. And then on the end of the survey, you're third. Yeah, it was for us like a victory in this moment, for sure. So you're really tired. And then if you'll be third, then yeah, it's a dream.
Yeah, it's kind of weird as well, isn't it? Because like you say, 24 hours is a long time. It's a lot of time for things to go wrong in a racing environment, but it's also a lot of time for working things out and perhaps making amends for things that have gone wrong. So it's kind of the stuff dreams are made of, for sure. So take yourself back to the second round now, the 12-hour race in Estoril, which was back in July. I think from a leading position, Kenny had a bit of a fall, and that cost, I think, 4.5 minutes in the pits to fix the bikes, and the team were again four laps down, and I think in 20th place on rejoining the race. But then a combination of, you know, really consistent riding plus quite a few seriously hot laps saw the team earn another podium finish. Kind of similar to Le Mans in a way, but the title, I guess it was still on at that point, wasn't it?
Yeah, sure. We on Estoril, to be honest, we have to win this race. And then in Le Mans, we know Suzuki is very strong, and that's what they did. We have to be honest, they were the strongest in Le Mans. But in Estoril was just the opposite. We are the strongest. We are far away the fastest on the track. In the testing, everywhere we are the fastest. The tires were working really good, much better than the Bridgestone. The Dunlops are the best in Estoril. And then we have this small crash, and it's only 8 hours, you know, then it's a problem. Huh? You lose a lot of time. But then we coming back till place three on 0.9 seconds from the second place. And I was happy with the third place, of course. But there, I was a little bit disappointed, because we know we are the best there. And if you're the best and you're only third, it's not a nice feeling. And like you say, I think there we can go, we got to be in the first place from the World Championship. I think only we're two points behind the second place. Third place was good. Two races, two times podium, it's not so bad.
Yeah. I mean, it's an old racing cliche, but when people say that's racing, but it's so true, isn't it? Yeah, cuts you up big style. And then, of course, unfortunately, the team was besieged by a technical issue at the Boldor, which was a big setback, of course. But you guys never gave up, did you? You know, you just sort of picked yourselves up and focused on that final race. And that, to me, shows true fighting spirit among the team.
Yeah, when we have this problem in Le Mans, it was really hard to take for us, because we you know, you're working hard, you have the pre-tests, we have the tests. Test was good. We have some small issues in the beginning of the race. where we fall back again, and then we're coming back to place four. And we have a different strategy. We are a little bit slower, but we know that we have to four times less to the box than the other guys, because we have a very good fuel consumption. As we know, we can grow, we can go easily to the second pace. Easily, it's never easy, but that was possible. And we could be first in the world championship before we go to the last race. But okay, unfortunately, we have a technical problem. Yeah, can happen. Of course, was the first really problem we have in the BMW. Yeah, we can happen. And then we have to when we come back to the workplace here. We spoke about it with the mechanics, and then we say, okay, guys, we have to turn up the button, and we go back for a must where we want to win. That's also what it's not always like this, but this time it happens like this.
Just touching on what you said there about fuel consumption, because I think in his post-race comments, Wrighty, he talked about a five-stop strategy working well at Must, but he also said that the fuel consumption was another key to success last weekend. So how good is the fuel consumption then on the latest bike?
The work from our crew chief and BMW is really good. They make a special mapping for WEC, where they found an average between power and the fuel consumption, and this is really good, to be honest. I think together with Suzuki, we are the longest on track. I think we were in most of your five laps more on track than, for example, Yamaha. And okay, it's a different strategy. They were faster than us. We drive longer than them. We have one stop less. And the end of the race, yeah, you see, we're coming together, and we have just the nose in front. And that would say we have the best strategy because we won. It's what it is. It's not very close. Now, I must really say the fuel consumption from our bike is really good. Yeah, it's in top level, top.
A bit about you then, Werner. You raced for many years before moving into team management, and you've enjoyed plenty of success. I think you won seven titles with BMW and the IDM and the European Stock Championships. But what are the factors that make endurance racing so special for you personally?
I think from when I was young, I go watching the 24 hours of Spa here in Belgium. I drive by myself, Belgian Championship, and for me the guys from the 24 hours, I say like Doc Polen or Carl Fogarty or all those guys were really heroes for me, more than the GP guys, because for me 24 hours they're the real guys. I always say in the night, and I promised to myself already then I want to do it by myself. That's what I did. But afterwards, when I stopped racing in 2010, I do the IDM German Championship. But always, my dream was I want to be German champion and Belgian champion. I want to be European champion, what we did. And afterwards, I want to be a world champion with my team. And and WBC is my thing. EBC is my thing. And once I spoke with Mark Bong from BMW about this, we directly agree with each other, because he knows and he feels also I want to be world champion, and okay, next year we go for it.
Fantastic. Yeah, now of course you've been part of the BMW family for a very long time too, both as a rider, as you said, but also with your teams. But I'm wondering if you miss the riding or not. It's a different kind of pressure, isn't it?
I miss the riding, yes. Riding with bike, yes, sure. Racing with such a top bike is always like a dream. But I don't I miss the exciting, the adrenaline from racing, for sure. I think everybody always says this. But I don't miss anymore the training, the nerves, the nights don't sleep because you have to the crashes you have. No, this I don't miss anymore. The nice things, nice. If I think about a race in nice weather, nice tracks, yes. But if I think on cold races, rain, no.
Yeah, I'm sure it makes you a better team manager as well with the past you've had. And of course, you've seen the development of the Double R ever since it burst onto the racing scene back in, I think, 2009. I think you might have even had your first international win on the bike that year at the Salzburg Ring. But tell me, Werner, just how good is the latest MRR compared to that early Double R?
I have the chance this year to drive with the standard M. And I can the standard M is already much better than my racing bike I have in those years. especially the way the power is coming in, the electronic traction control, relay control, all those things we don't have in these years. We have, but it works minor. It works. Sometimes we cut it off because it works so good. But now the standard bike is on a level like we have in 2010 in the best racing bike. It's unbelievable how good they are at the moment.
Yeah, that is unbelievable to hear you say that when you think about what you needed to spend back in the day on, you know, on a fully fledged racing bike to make it competitive compared to what effectively you can get out of the showroom these days. It's remarkable. So I just want to touch on the riders that the team signed for the 2021 season, because with Marcus Ilya and Xavi, you had a really interesting blend of cultures and qualities on board the MRR. And then, of course, Kenny added even more to the mix, especially experience. But what particular strengths did each rider bring to the table to make this such a successful team?
Yeah, we try to manage the riders all the same. We have with Kenny, of course, we have the most experienced rider from us. He's 37. He's already world champion. He knows everything how it goes. And then we have a mix from generations, because we have Salvi Forres, who is also not anymore so young, but very experienced in the world of bike. But Salvi is incredible. He was in Estoril. He was so fast that blow up the other guys all. And then of course Marcus and Ilya, much younger, 25 and 27, who are still very young but very experienced. And you see less race than most, they drive the race, and they start to adapt also on WBC, because they are really sprint guys, and they fight always to each other. In the week before in Hockenheim, they fight with each other, but they both fast. They're really good team players. I think that's the most important. They want to win for the team. I think that's what is the strength from both of them at the moment.
Yeah, another interesting aspect of endurance racing, isn't it? The teamwork that you just don't get in most types of motorcycle racing. I've just wanted to ask you about those spectacular Le Mans style starts, though, because I've always thought that, you know, things could go horribly wrong in those moments. So do you ever give your riders any advice about not being able to win those races on the first lap?
Yes, we speak about it, because of course we make also exercises. We're like, for example, this time Ilya takes the start, and we exercise in the morning. And I speak, of course, with him that you cannot win a 24-hour race in the first corner, for sure. But yeah, you know, once the flag is fallen, the rider, you're out of control, and the rider must take the thing. But in the moments, I must say all riders, I'm happy with this. They normally the first laps they stay cool, like Ilya say in front of me, and most when I want to stay 15 laps in the first leading group, and then I try to go away. I think you can say that, but the saying of doing this is something different. But actually that's what he did. He stayed 15 laps by the leading group by the factory Honda and Yamaha, and then he go. Then he drive away about, I think, 10 seconds. That he did what he say before. It's you can only do that if you have a lot of talent, of course.
Yeah, old head on a young shoulders as well, I suppose. Now, I guess this depends on the event. Obviously, you've had a mix of, you know, 8, 12 and 24, but how long are the riding stints generally? And does this change as a typical race progresses? Do you have a fixed number of laps for each rider, or a fixed amount of time? Or
This is very simple. We drive till the last drop of fuel is out of the fuel tank. We drive as long as possible, but it depends. We have tracks where we are more than 1 hour on track, and we have tracks like most now we are 58 minutes on track. It depends, of course, on the fuel consumption. You like Lucas Lay is much faster. You go every lap, you go over 330 kilometers per hour on the straight. Then we have more fuel consumption than Le Mans, and also in rain it can be 1 hour 20 that we are on track. Yeah, it depends on the circumstance. Yeah.
I've got to ask you, how accurate are the fuel gauges? I mean, to literally, how low can you go?
We can go to like a cola, 0.2.
Wow.
Yes. If we're coming in on the track, we have almost no fuel anymore. You cannot imagine how many fuel it's in. Almost nothing. No, we have now in most two times that we have only 0.2 max in a fuel tank. Yes, you can make maybe half a lap more and then finish.
That's it. That's literally as far as you can go. Fantastic.
For example, we have the problem that we calculate that Marcus make 135 in the race, but he was a little bit too fast. And doing this, he was crossing the finish line 3 seconds over before three. Means he must make one lap more. Then we start to be a little bit nervous. And he has, I cannot do the outlap. If you do not save gear, he cannot make the outlap.
Running on fumes. Amazing.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
What about nutrition and hydration? Do the riders have drinking systems while they're on board the bikes?
Yes, they have a drinking system, 2 liters they have on the back. And this they fill up with what I want. Some guys want to have magnesium, some water. I don't know what they put in, but as long as no alcohol, for me, is everything okay.
Yeah, not until the last lap anyway. What about food intake? How is that managed in the team to keep the riders focused, you know, with the right amount of energy release at the right time and not too much, of course?
No, this time, to be honest, Kenny Foray was there as a spare rider, and he managed this with the guys when they need carbohydrates or taking out proteins or which drink or magnesium. They manage that by their own, because everybody has his system. And the guys in the kitchen, they try to follow all the guys what they want. Yeah.
There's almost like a wish list of things that each rider needs ready at a given time. And
some riders want to have only pasta. Some riders want to have only fish and rice. And we do what they want. It's very easy.
Yeah, not too scientific then.
No. It's very easy. That we are very easy in this, because we know if you give a rider what he likes, he has never complained and he's fast. You know, it's we never say no. For these things, we never say no.
I'm interested to know, because I've never done it, but how about racing at nighttime? You've obviously done it many times, but how difficult is this when the body must be crying out for sleep? The adrenaline, I guess, wears off at a certain point and exhaustion sets in. And how difficult is it to keep riding consistently without crashing?
Yeah, the problem is, of course, if you sleep, normally most of the guys don't really sleep. If you really sleep and you fell asleep and you're really tired and then you wake up, I can tell you the first laps are hard. Then, especially in Le Mans, when it is about 0 degrees or 1-2 degrees at night, and you jump on the bike, the first two laps, you're always thinking by yourself, why I'm doing it? Why, for which reason I'm doing this? I have it every time when I race. But after 2-3 laps, you start to enjoy again your job and you go full. It's only the first two laps. I think every race has the same comment. They always think then, why I'm doing this? But okay, on the end. Once the stint is going, you're coming in a kind of level, and then it's easy. It's not never easy, but then it's gone. No problem.
Just out of interest for you personally, would you prefer riding through the night or racing in the wet?
Oh, riding in the night. Riding in the night in Spa is still, for me, the best ever. I think all the riders who drive once in Spa before the 24 hours, in the fully dark, in the fully black, it's like for me was the best. If you say to me what's the best you remember from the full career, is above the winds driving at night in Spa.
Oh, fantastic!
And you make almost the same lap times in the daytime, because you start to change not with your eyes but on the revs, with your noise and ears, and then it's like that's the best. It's the best from racing. Not rain. No rain. Because it's also happened. We did also a lot of races in Spa with the rain. And that's not exciting. This I don't like. It's not that. We're not.
Yeah, good to hear how much you enjoyed riding at nighttime there. That's fantastic. So what difference has it made in this race format, you know, not having all the spectators supporting the team throughout the day and night this year? I mean, you must have missed this badly in the past year.
Yeah, sure. It was boring. Eh? If you have if you go to Le Mans, where normally are 100,000 spectators, and now it's zero, it's not the same atmosphere, for sure not. No, it's not nice. And then when we see again spectators in Mons, and especially in Le Castellet, Boldor was fantastic, because you hear the guy screaming when you're also standing on the start finish line, also the riders. And that's a big difference, of course.
Yeah, Brilliant. Well, hopefully we're going to be back to full crowds again for the whole season next year. Werner, it's been fantastic celebrating the team's success with you, and great to hear all those insights into the world of endurance racing, BMW style. So we wish you the best for that busy and successful winter program, and look forward to catching up with you again next year.
I hope that we have next year you phone me back so we can speak about some better news world title. We hope we'll be fighting for it.
It's already a massive success from this year, but thanks ever so much. And let's hope we do that as well, Werner. Take care now.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Cheers, Werner. And a massive congrats from all the race fans listening to this podcast, many of whom will have followed your racing exploits over the years on various BMW bikes. Right, hope you enjoyed that. And please check back with us soon, as we've got some super interesting guests coming up soon on Ride and Talk. Until then, bye for now.